podcast series. I'm Dave Nelson, a Vistage member since 2003, part of CEO Group 676 in Pittsburgh, and your podcast host. It's my great pleasure to highlight extraordinary leaders with this series. Every episode, we get a number of valuable ideas that can be applied in our own businesses. So today, I'm joined by Todd Vandehei, and Todd is president of Stark, which means strong in German. And I love your slogan, Todd.
Thank you. Optimized.
So
thank
that's
you.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome to the Vistage Podcast.
I appreciate it. Yeah, actually, the slogan was noodled or processed at a Vistage meeting. So
interesting. I think everybody should come up with some kind of very short, compelling, what I've heard called USP, unique selling proposition,
mm-hmm.
and I think you've done that extremely well. I mean, two
words.
That's probably the all-time record short. Mine is
like the haiku of USP.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I thought I was doing well. I help companies in the social media space, and so I say we socialize, you capitalize, but you got an even shorter
I like
one
yours
than
too.
I did. Well, tell us a little bit about what you do for your clients, just because you know, everybody needs to pay attention to health and fitness. I want to have maybe a little bit more of a domain discussion today about your business. So tell us about your clients and what you do for them.
Okay, well, our clients are primarily CEOs and pro athletes. The smaller percentage are pro athletes. And it's a smaller percentage because we've got them during the off season, so it's typically, you know, 1 or 2 months a year, frankly. And that they will fly out and rent space in Newport Beach, enjoy their off season there, and get put back together again at Stark. But the vast majority of our business is made up of CEOs, and they're primarily businesses that are $5 to $100 million in revenue, and the big challenge with those CEOs, as I experience on a week in and week out basis, as I'm sure you do as well, is that they don't have an off season, and so we have to kind of hack through the rigors of their work life and attempt to kind of turn that around. Many of whom come to us, well, I mean, not in the best of health, frankly, because like you, and certainly like me, in the past, I kind of put myself behind everything else and everyone else. And at some point you realize, whoa, wait a second, I'm stuck inside of my body. My body actually has to perform. I can't get sick a lot. I have to be full of energy. I have to be charismatic, thoughtful, practice good judgment, be creative. And if your body and your brain don't work properly, it's pretty difficult to do all those things. And stress has a way of, you know, it's got a cumulative effect. And so that's what we focus on, turning that stuff around.
Pretty cool. I know there's a lot of emerging neuroscience now that says, you know, exercise substantially improves mental performance. People don't think about that. They think about the health benefits of it. But hey, we've got a whole new reason to exercise, and that's to be smarter.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has a major impact on cognitive function, and really. Stark is kind of modeled after what Fortune 100 CEOs have been doing for about a decade, and that's seeking out their own team of health and fitness experts to kind of keep them in tip-top shape. But it's not really totally trickled down to smaller businesses yet. I mean, people that are more in the trenches. Just because they're so focused on running their business day in and day out, it's difficult to think, you know, how can I give myself an additional edge? And that's kind of where we come in.
So paint a picture, if you would, of your facility. I've not seen it. I take it there's a place that people go and equipment. And, I mean, tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, Stark is, I mean, we have a facility. It's not... we're not in the facility business. We're actually in we're a service business, a kind of a hybrid service business. So what I mean by that is we have a gym, but commercial gyms are really in the facilities management business. They sell memberships and manage the facility, and it's kind of a do-it-yourself or kind of environment. at Stark, we have the same tools or similar tools, but it's really all about the people at Stark. So we're essentially a fully integrated team of specialists. And what that means is that, keep in mind that I'm a business person, so I'm not one of those specialists. I run the business, and I'm responsible for strategy, marketing, finance, and operations, just all the standard business stuff that everybody else in Vistage is responsible for. But the team of specialists, what makes them so unique is that they work together, and that's what we mean by fully integrated. So what that means is that we have personal trainers and strength coaches, we have nutritionists, we have doctors, we have chiropractors, we have an individual who's highly analytical, who kind of sorts through all the data that we may collect on your body to design the right program for you. And that's kind of how the program works. So that integrated component or feature is what makes us so unique, because even those Fortune 100 companies Fortune 100 CEOs are pulling their team together, but really they're independent. So they may have an MD in New York and a chiropractor in Florida, and they don't necessarily see eye to eye. They don't communicate. They don't collaborate. And at Stark, we're all forced to work closely together, which my background, by the way, is in manufacturing. And so a lot of the concepts that I've applied to Stark come from that. Eliminating bottlenecks, being able to scale up a service business, having people, pass the baton from one person to another. It's all fairly normal for me, but very, very unusual in our space.
Do people come to you or your team goes to them? How does it actually work?
People come to us. I mean, we do have some clients that we've never met. We have clients all over the world that come to us to design their programs. But in most cases, they at least fly out to Orange County, which, of course, is a nice place to visit, particularly if you're from Pittsburgh, right?
I was just there, and I loved it. I'd never been up to Santa Barbara before, and there's a whole wine country up there. Man,
yeah, I mean,
there's
so many wonderful places to visit around here. So
yeah, I finally made it to the Getty Museum on this trip, too, which is just
it's not just the art, but the
architecture. Yeah, what you live in a very nice part of the country, I must say.
Yeah. Yeah, so, taking a trip here from, let's say, Minnesota in the wintertime and getting a bunch of blood work done and getting tested isn't a bad thing, and that's usually how we get started. And then you go back, and we've got at least some base data on your body and can intelligently design future programs as you progress from a body standpoint. You'll come out, maybe once a year thereafter, which, again, is not a bad thing.
Okay, and so then the CEO or client would typically execute the program on their own, independently,
uh-huh,
with the periodic review.
Yeah, exactly.
And I noticed, just in terms of time, since that's probably something that the CEOs listening to this podcast are curious about, I noticed on your website, which I got to say, I love the way you position. Everything is about, it's not what we do, it's what you get. And so I think you've done a really nice job.
Thank you.
In terms of compelling clients and, talking about what's in it for them. But one of the testimonials says 2 45-minute sessions a week. I mean, is that sort of typical? Is that the kind of time commitment that somebody would need to put in?
That's not typical and that's not ideal, but it's possible. You just have to... If I remember correctly, that may be Dr. Amen.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so Dr. Amen, you may be familiar with him or not. He's a world-renowned psychiatrist, and much of what he focuses on with his patients is nutrition, and so he's just the perfect eater, and when you combine perfect nutrition with a couple of really intense training sessions a week, you can get pretty far. He's an atypical client in that regard.
Okay. Well, what would be sort of a more standard metric for one of your clients?
Okay. Well, standard maybe 3 or 4 days a week. But let me talk about ideal, because I think this is really interesting and relevant to the audience. And this is just because it's so relevant to me. When you are you sitting down right now?
I am sitting down right now.
Okay.
Although I'm right next to my WalkFit station, so sometimes.
Oh, jeez, you are advanced.
I'm a bit of a. I'm not a fitness total geek, but you know, I'm signed up for the Tough Mudder this year. I've done triathlons and three marathons, so I'm into it. I've got my Apple Watch, and I can't wait till they start
this will be a fun conversation then.
Okay, cool.
All right, so sitting is the new smoking. You've probably heard that.
I haven't heard that, but that's a really compelling way to say it.
Yeah. The bottom line is that when we sit, I mean, if I wasn't at Stark or, meaning working here, or I wasn't a Stark client, I would sit at my desk for 8 to 12 hours a day with nary a breath coming out of my mouth and just entirely focused on what I was doing at my computer. That would be a typical day if I didn't know any better.
I'm pretty sure that's typical for people listening to this.
Normal business. So when you consider that lifestyle, that work environment, and how unnatural it is, it just absolutely destroys our bodies, both from a cognitive function standpoint and from an orthopedic standpoint and from a hormonal standpoint even. I mean, your cortisol levels are always real high, which is your primary stress hormone, and that just destroys your sex hormones, which is youth, basically. So you have to – and here's the general concept. You've got to kind of hack those unnatural things that we're doing to our body. And part of that hack is exercise. So obviously lifting weights in a gym is not really – our forefathers weren't doing that. Our ancestors weren't doing that kind of stuff. There was no such thing. They were farmers or they were hunters or whatever. But they were very physically active, different from our sedentary lifestyle, in particular executive CEOs. And so ideally you are doing something every day, whether it's walking your dog for an hour or 45 minutes and throwing in some intense training that's really intelligently designed. And by that I mean, if you're sitting at a desk, you've got tight hip flexors and short biceps and short pec minors because you're kind of like leaning forward a little bit, and you've got forward head carriage because you're moving your head closer to your screen. I mean, all those things cause tightness and shortness in those areas, and intelligently designed workout will kind of balance those things out and lengthen the right things and strengthen the right things that are atrophied. And so if you combine that with some just doing something, just being active, whether it's walking the golf course or, like I said, walking your dog, going for a light jog, riding your bike, something every day, that's really ideal, because you've got to balance out that standing still or sitting still at your desk all day long. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I guess I'm starting to understand more why my watch now tells me every hour to stand up. And the fact that I've been hitting at least 12 activity periods, or moving around periods, not sitting. I love your statement that sitting is the new smoking. That's really jarring and motivating.
Yeah.
Well, let's back up a little bit. How did you start this business in the first place, or did you come to it already in existence?
A little bit of both. So the circumstances. Let me just kind of paint a picture for you. So it's 2009. And I had been in manufacturing for years, was the president of a company called Fabrica. And actually, you interviewed, I believe it was you that interviewed Joe Francisco, the CEO of Metalita.
Oh, absolutely. That's a cool business, yeah.
So Joe, I was the guy Joe referred to in the interview. So he and I were very close, or are very close. He's actually in my Vistage group now. We worked together in that business, and the company was acquired by a public company, and long and the short of it is I had a disagreement with the board of directors and was fired. Didn't have to work, so we continued to manage our real estate investments, which is something I had done for maybe 15 years previous. So I was in that for a long, long time. The disaster hit. We lost almost everything, unfortunately, and I had to actually start looking for a job again. And
wow.
And for me, in that industry, it would have meant a relocation to probably Georgia. And we had been living in Orange County at the time for maybe 10 or 12 years. And I just shuddered at the thought of having to do that. So my heart really wasn't in it, but I was standing in my jacuzzi, taking a break from putting my resume together, and my cell phone rang, and it was my business partner. my current business partner. He called me. I was a client of his in the past. He was a personal trainer, and he said, "Hey, I'm about to close my business down. Can you help me?" And so I met with him maybe a day later, and we talked about my circumstances and his. And I told him that, you know, I can stay, but it probably is not going to be permanent. You know, when I get a job, I'm going to have to probably leave. But I'll do what I can. And I just met with my wife, and I'm like, hey, if we get really small, we can do this. And we don't have to move. And I get to be home all the time. We have got a young family, and what I was looking at was a drastic change in really everything, and an improvement in the most important things to me at that particular point in time. So I got involved, and within just a couple of months, I'm like, hey, Brad, your business model isn't a good one. Your company name's not a good one. Everything you've got, your lease, other assets, we've got to just shut this thing down and start something new. And that's when we decided to start Stark.
And so that was 2010?
So January of 2011 is when
okay.
we opened our doors.
Got it. And
yeah.
Did you join Vistage before that or after that?
I actually joined after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and tell me a little bit about how Vistage has helped then with what is clearly a very young business.
Yeah, so one thing I loved, not always, but in most cases about the public company was that I reported to the board of directors. So there is an extreme level of accountability there.
Indeed.
And after starting Stark, after Brad and I started Stark, I realized, you know, I don't have that at all, and nor do any small business people. And was referred to Vistage, met with the chairperson. I'm like, yeah, this is what I want. I want this kind of accountability. If I say I'm going to do something, I want somebody to call me on it a quarter later and say, hey, did you ever do that thing? And for me to say yes or no and feel some emotional connection to that. And so that's in a large part what Vistage does for me as well. You know, I really enjoy the thought-provoking speakers that we have. I mean, I'm forced to listen to something that I may not go out and seek myself, and I always walk away with some nugget from those speakers. So it's helpful in that respect as well.
Interesting. I too like the accountability, and it's to your chair, but it's also to your group. And so when you go through the issue processing, working with a group to solve a problem, you at the end commit what you're going to do in the next month. It's okay, Dave,
right.
Give us an update. And so I found in ways that I never was before, I was accountable when I joined Vistage. What has been the best business advice that you've ever received along the way? And I ask this in the longer sense, not just with this current business and Vistage, but in your entire career since you were involved in running a public company.
Wow, that's a great question. I would say that all of the success is in what you decide not to do.
Oh, that's interesting.
The things you say no to.
Just expand on that a little bit more then. That's
Things
you decide not to do, the things you say no to.
Yeah, so in a business like Fabrica, which was when I took over, it was 30 years old or 35 years old, fairly developed, very clear what the organization was all about. And so there were always, shiny balls landing in my lap, or that of the guy that designed new products, or the sales organization, or whatever, that can be distracting. And then in real estate, as an investor, I mean, there are opportunities all over the place, and to practice clear enough judgment to avoid making the wrong purchasing decisions or the wrong way to exit is absolutely critical. But in a small business that you're actually developing while you're operating it, to have the discipline and the clarity to know what to say no to is, I think, 80% of the game. Because to take the entire organization of, you know, today we're at 15 people. 4 years ago we were at like three. In a different direction could be devastating. Or you just never arrive where you want to arrive. I mean, that's really what I'm getting at, to stay true to your purpose. And that means that you are going to, particularly as a CEO, say no to most opportunities that get presented to you.
That's super interesting. And as I said earlier, very, very thought provoking. What do you consider to be the hardest thing about being in charge?
The hardest thing about being in charge.
I mean, saying no is not fun, so that would certainly be a hard thing.
Right.
And in fact, even understanding, if you're saying no more often than yes, having a very strong philosophy around that. But there are other challenges, are there not?
This is something that I had the most amazing mentor ever. His name is Royce Renfro. And kind of a tongue twister name, but I mean, amazing guy. This giant hard ass. Can I say that?
Yeah,
ass.
Yeah, you're allowed to say that. It's a podcast. FCC is not listening.
Hard ass Italian guy who, I mean, just incredibly bright. And I was fortunate enough to have him take me under my wing. But he used to say to me over and over again, "It's always lonely at the top." And it never really hit me until I was at Stark. Where it was just everything is, I don't know, like the volume is just turned up in such a small business. Everything is much more intense, and everything is a bigger risk. And that thing in and of itself, meaning you can't, as a veteran like I am, I've been doing this for a long time. You know, you can't share everything with everybody, even if you're really close with them. You have to be so concerned about the emotional impact of whatever it is, a good thing or a bad thing, and there's a lot that you have to kind of keep to yourself because it could potentially have an emotional impact in a negative way on key people, and keeping those things to yourself is a difficult challenge that I face day in and day out, and that is why it's somewhat lonely. That's partly. Why Vistage is beneficial as well. You get
I totally agree.
You
with
get to
you.
Share everything, right? I mean, you get to open up the valve and,
it
kind of all comes out.
It's a confidential environment, and people share both. I'm just thinking back to our last meeting, both business and personal challenges, and lonely, but less so when you have a Vistage group to rely on.
Yeah.
Do you have a particular mantra, a quote that you're constantly sharing with your people?
Constantly sharing.
Yeah.
I certainly have
trying to communicate or drive home.
I have a concept that I'm constantly sharing with maybe. Bear in mind that all of my people are non-business people that I'm developing, and that's just the circumstances that we're in. You know, I'm not able to hire some high-level operations manager, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept I'm always trying to get across is for them to be fully aware of their own emotional state and how it affects the people that work for them. Because if they affect it in a positive way, it will be so much easier to be successful. If they affect it in a negative way, it will be so difficult to be successful. And so that concept in and of itself is really what I try to hammer home with all of my people, who are all totally new to what they're doing.
Interesting. So let's go back to your business and your domain, as opposed to some of the lessons learned along the way. And what would you say to a Vistage member who has been totally heads down on their business, maybe for many years, spends their day sitting, hasn't been paying attention to sleep, nutrition, exercise? What would be your basic message to them?
Well, one of the simplest ways to become healthier immediately and virtually free is to start drinking a lot of water. And that's something that I'd say maybe more like 80% of the CEOs that I meet just aren't fully aware of, or maybe they don't believe it, or they think it's important but not enough, and they
Is
don't
that
execute
the
on it.
8 cups a day, or you have a
no, it's 50% of your body weight in ounces.
Okay. Okay, so 50% of my body weight in ounces. Okay,
yeah.
I got that math. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's where to start.
Okay.
From the perspective of our clients, I was just had a conversation with another CEO. His name is Tony DiCostanzo. He's the CEO of BookPal, which, by the way, a little plug for Tony's business. He's like the Amazon, but in bulk. So if you're buying books for your employees, go to BookPal. He's really cool little business. Anyway, Tony had been a client for, I don't know, a year and a half, never listened to us about that one specific most fundamental thing. And he's always had some difficulty with sleeping. Sorry, Tony, I'm sharing too much information probably. But he started drinking a lot of water, and it drastically improved the quality of his sleep.
Oh, I mean, that's interesting.
That in and of itself is worth everything he's ever gotten from Stark.
Wow. Well, the one thing I know about hydration as a runner is just very small percentages of dehydration have a huge impact on your performance.
Absolutely.
So, I guess it's that same principle, but applied in our regular everyday life.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I have a headache, if I feel a little bit tired or sluggish or foggy, I drink more water. That's the first thing I go to.
Perfect. Well, I'll add that one to my list. And thanks for remotivating me to be on my walk station instead of my chair. So let me ask just one last question for my own curiosity. I could talk to you all day, but we've got a lot of this instrumentation of our bodies now, and you know, Apple Watch is the newest thing. Although I must say, I'm disappointed. At least at this moment, it doesn't yet have the sleep tracking. I've mm-hmm. worn a device from Body Media for going back to 2010, so I get sleep and exercise data. What are your thoughts on that whole trend?
I think it's absolutely fascinating that there are things that I would prefer us to have access to in a much less expensive way than we currently have, and it's not the stuff that you can get from a tracker or from your Apple Watch or whatever. Although some of that stuff is helpful. I mean, for example, you taking a read on your resting heart rate first thing in the morning is a great measure of your cardiovascular health. So if you're a runner, I would expect that you're between 45 and 50.
Exactly,
and,
right.
And
44,
if you're
46 when I wake up.
Yeah, I mean, so that's awesome, right? So you're on the money with that. That's perfect. But there will be times of maybe lots of travel or a lot of stress where your resting heart rate goes up, and you need to know what to do about it. And that what to do about it part is somewhat lacking. But I'm kind of digressing. So that's one benefit. But I would love to be able to, like a blood glucose monitor, which is really cheap today, very helpful for people that are trying to lose fat and lose weight, to know where their fasting glucose is. But to take it further, to be able to take a look at cholesterol levels, and because they bounce around all over the place, testosterone levels bounces all over the place. All the basic and maybe one step above basic blood work would be incredible to have access to inexpensively. So as an example, I get my blood work done once a quarter just to see what's going on and to measure to what degree the things I'm doing are influencing that. Because at this point, I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm as healthy as I think I could or hope to be at my age. But I want to see what's where the wheels are getting wobbly and kind of shore them up, because that connects to longevity. But to be able to do it on a more regular basis without having to set an appointment with our doctor, which, of course, for me is very easy because he's in the building, and to be able to have our clients do the same thing would be just amazing. So I think we're heading in the right direction. I think those tools will show themselves at some point in the near future. And when they do, I mean, we're just going to be able to do such better work as a result.
Fabulous. So if somebody's interested in actually getting in touch with you, your services, I see your website is StarkNation, StarkNation.com. But is that the best way to go?
Yeah, well, StarkNation.com is one way. And as well, many Vistage members probably know my business partner who's a speaker within Vistage, and they can read more about him at braddavidson.com. You'll see on both websites coming December 28th, a book that we have coming out called The Stark Naked Metabolic Reset, which is a really interesting. So this is really high quality information that's only made for high achievers. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so all
absolutely.
The other diet books out there, all the other information that you may read about or consume through the internet or otherwise, it's really made for the general public. This is made for only high achievers. So whether you're a CEO or you're a hard-driving elite pro athlete or somebody that's just super into health and nutrition and works out all the time and can't figure out whether or not to be able to get to the next level, that's what this information is about. That's what the book's about. So that's
all
pretty
right.
Cool.
Well, fabulous. So those are some great resources. I feel like we could spin off this thing into a regular podcast, Todd. There's so many interesting things to talk about, but we'll leave it there for today. It was such a delight speaking with you. Thanks for
joining
us. My
pleasure, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Okay, take care.
All right. Well, folks, if you're interested in learning more about Vistage, please check out Vistage.com, Vistage.com, although you probably already knew how to spell it. It's a great way to take your business to the next level. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Vistage Podcast Series. We hope it helps you accelerate your business and, in this case, your body.